It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 125 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And we have the launch of X-Wing 2nd Edition rapidly approaching us here. We have an initial pre-release at Gen Con in Indiana. And then mid-September, we have the release to everybody for 2nd Edition.
And with Gen Con just a few weeks away, it's not going to be too long before players are going to be able to get their hands on all these new X-Wing ships and cards. Today, we're going to talk about the TIE Fighter expansion. Fantasy Flight dropped another spoiler preview article where we got to see most of the remaining TIE Fighter pilots coming in the TIE Fighter expansion and the core set. So today, we're going to be looking at those pilots, which is a mix of familiar faces and some new players.
Yeah, and while the game seems to be changing quite a bit, it seems like the TIE Fighter is, in general, remaining the same.
So before we dive into the first couple pilots here, it's important to note that from first edition into second edition, on the surface, the TIE Fighter feels very familiar.
Right. It's still got the same chassis that dominated its initial release at the beginning, 2012 Dawn of X-Wing. The TIE Fighter was well ahead of all the other ships in that initial release. And just a very simple stat line at that. Just 2 attack dice, 3 agility, and 3 hull. But it had that superpower of being very low in points cost.
And we're assuming that's going to remain true going into the second edition here. The TIE Fighter also has its pretty much identical action bar, focus, evade, and barrel roll. But that will feel a little bit different because in second edition, the evade and barrel roll actions have been updated a little bit. So they're not going to function exactly the same way. We've talked about that in previous episodes. But with the TIE Fighter, we've got a slew of familiar and not-so-familiar pilots and pilot abilities that we're going to talk about today, covering pretty much the whole range of initiatives that are available in 2nd Edition.
Yeah, and for the context of all these pilots, it seems like looking at from what we've seen from threat cards, the TIE Fighter is still going to be the budget fighter for the Imperials. So, you know, when we're assessing all these pilot abilities, we want to keep in mind that you're probably taking multiple TIE Fighters, quite a few of them in a list. Whether you're taking 3 or 4 in complement to a few of your other ships in your list, or you're taking a whole squad of 5, 6, or 7 of them together. We're not exactly sure on point costs how it's all going to shake out, but that's kind of where we're estimating seeing the TIE Fighter playing on the table.
So one of the design choices I like about the TIE Fighter in 2nd Edition, when we're talking about their named pilots, is that a lot of the named pilots have matched initiative with other named pilots. So we're going to see a set of initiative 5 ships, we're going to see a set of initiative 4 ships, and then a couple other ships that link up with other TIE Fighters. And that's actually a change from the first edition of the game. One of the problems with running a TIE Swarm in the first edition of the game, if you chose to use those named pilots, is oftentimes the pilot skill back then of all these different named pilots would be kind of all over the place. So there were some cool TIE Fighter pilot abilities, but you'd have one that was pilot skill 4, and then a couple 5s, and a 6, and a 7, and an 8. And for swarm flying, not having many matched initiatives or pilot skills actually makes it a lot more difficult, because you're kind of more narrowed into what your movement decisions can be, since you don't really get to choose the order. Here, having multiple ships at the same initiative means you can choose what order those ships activate and what order those ships shoot, which gives you a lot more flexibility, which is really what you're looking for when you're flying a swarm list.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it right there. When you're flying a swarm list, having that same initiative value is just so much more valuable, so that they'll still have shots on targets when you get into the scrum of things and activate in an order where you know some of your ships will clear and get actions. And so you can prioritize those movements before the train wreck of colliding ships occurs. Because when you have just 2 attack dice ships, you want to make sure you're getting as much firing arc opportunity as possible and as much action economy backing that up as possible to make those weak attack dice count. And so it's just very important to have that same initiative. And I like that it seems like looking at these pilots that the designers have given list builders the opportunity to create a lot of same initiatives within their list building.
Yeah, so let's look at the first cycle of TIE Fighter pilots here. We're going to look at the Initiative 5 pilots. We have 3 named Initiative 5 TIE Fighter pilots: Hal Runner, Mauler Mithil, and Scourge Scutu. And with them, they come a pretty distinct theme here of damage output.
Yeah, of course, Howlrunner, the most well-known TIE fighter from the first edition. This TIE fighter was well ahead of the rest when you compare it to any of the other named TIE fighters. And it's got the exact same pilot ability.
Yeah, Howlrunner's pilot ability reads, while a friendly ship at range 0 to 1 performs a primary attack, that ship may reroll one attack die. And that ability was very much a staple of first edition swarm lists, and I expect it'll serve the same role here in second edition.
Absolutely. I mean, this ability is so good. It's the reason that you get rewarded for bringing so many TIE fighters. And just rerolling one attack die, you know, when you only are rolling two attack dice, that is very good modification. It's about as good as a target lock there. And plus, those other ships will probably be taking focus tokens. Your whole squad will have very good modification.
Yeah, back in first edition, just getting that single die reroll on a whole bunch of other ships made Howlrunner incredibly valuable. Often it was going to be the first target your opponent tried to take out just to eliminate that efficiency on offense. I think it's going to be even more important in second edition here, where you don't have as many ships that can get focus and target lock together at the same time, at the same turn. So being able to get that reroll modification in addition to a focus token on your other ships and having them have 2 points of offensive modification is going to be incredibly valuable. And Howlrunner works great in synergy with just a bunch of other generic TIE fighters, but it also works really well with the other Initiative 5 TIE fighter pilots who have also a focus on really good offense. And one pretty big boost that Howlrunner's experienced in second edition is that her ability now affects herself too. So it doesn't specify another friendly ship. She can reroll one of her attack dice as well. So inherently, she's got a pretty great ability. She can reroll one of her attack dice, and she also gives that ability to everyone around her.
Right. We have Mahler Mythyl, who was the original TIE fighter who rolled extra attack dice and still has the same pilot ability again, which reads, while you perform an attack at range 1, roll 1 additional attack die.
And of course, this additional attack die is going to come on top of your normal range 1 bonus, so Mahler Mythyl, instead of rolling 2 dice, is suddenly at range 1 going to be rolling 4 dice.
Right, which is a pretty significant damage boost, especially considering just how cheap the TIE fighters are.
And I think Mahler Mythyl's ability is a little bit stronger in 2nd edition than it was in 1st edition, thanks to access to cards like Afterburners. We know the TIE Fighter has actually 2 mod slots, so being able to throw that Afterburners on there and get a couple boosts throughout the game means you're going to be able to more easily get those range 1 shots and roll those extra attack dice.
Well, and also if you just pair Mahler with Howlrunner, just having that threat of Howlrunner, you know, that's such a big threat your opponent really has to deal with first, often means Mahler gets to survive to be into range 1. You know, when I've traditionally faced these TIE swarms, and I think at their peak, well, their second peak in their resurgence with Crackshot, you know, it had Howlrunner, Mahler, and Scourge. And these, you know, second or third high initiative TIE fighters did really become a concern late game. You know, you've taken out a few of the TIE fighters, you got Howlrunner, but having these high initiative TIE fighters, they have that barrel roll. They're able to reposition around your ships. You know, when the TIE fighters are definitely able to take down some of your ships. And so when it becomes just, you know, one-on-one, Mahler is very good at the end game for a TIE fighter. It's able to dodge a lot of arcs, moving at a high initiative with barrel roll. And when it gets in close, it can drop ships rolling 4 attack dice.
Closing out this cycle of Initiative 5 TIE Fighters, we also have Scourge Skutu, bringing along a new ability thanks to the designated Bullseye Firing Arc on 2nd Edition bases. Scourge's ability reads, while you perform an attack against a defender in your Bullseye Firing Arc, roll 1 additional attack die.
Yeah, and this is very valuable also. You know, Mahler's ability usually isn't triggering on that first round of combat, but for a TIE Swarm, that is the most important round of combat. You want to maximize your early damage, take a few ships off, and just snowball your advantage. And so if you're able to set up that Bullseye Arc with Scourge and roll that extra attack dice, get the modification from Howlrunner to make that attack really connect, you're definitely off to a good start.
I really think Scourge's ability kind of mirrors and also complements Mauler's ability, where they're both going for that extra attack die role, but I really like that they do it in very different ways. Mauler's all about getting up close and personal. Scourge can play the long game and do things from range, which either way, I think the point of these cards, I guess not knowing the point cost, is to get the value of having a more expensive ship that would come with more attack dice, but rather than have the cost probably be in points, it'll be more in the skill of getting them into the right position so that you get that payoff, rather than having to invest points into getting those extra attack dice.
Right, and what also makes that interesting is when you're flying both of them in a list, they're probably going to want to be on different spots on the map, and so you have to really think and plan ahead with your swarm on how they're going to fan out and approach the opponent to set up both their optimal firing arcs, but then you still want to be in range of Howlrunner to get that modification. So I like how all of these abilities work, and, you know, to the player who can figure it out and set up those optimal engagements and somehow find a way to protect Howlrunner and keep her alive as long as possible, I think they're going to be pretty successful.
Well, I liked your point, too, about that high initiative being really important, because even if you're not flying these in a swarm, having an initiative 5 ship with these strong offensive abilities means they can function as an ace in the late game, like you were saying. And I think that's incredibly valuable. We know these ships have 2 modification slots, and I think a lot of the higher initiative ones look like they're going to have pilot talent slots, which means you can kit these more out like an ace ship, even though it's just a simple TIE fighter, add things like hull upgrades and whatnot, and really make these function more as standalone ships and not be so dependent on the swarm. So I think in that regard, they're actually really versatile too. They can work in a swarm or they can work outside.
Right, and we know Scourge is all about those bullseye firing arcs, and we know there's a whole series of pilot talents that also trigger off those bullseye firing arcs. So perhaps there's some pretty interesting list building options there.
So now we get to talk about Inferno Squadron, and this actually has me really excited, because it looks like we have pretty much a set of 4 linked designs here across all the Initiative 4 TIE Fighter pilots.
So the Inferno Squadron are the main characters from Battlefront 2, a game I did not play due to my disappointment of Battlefront 1, but it looks like a really cool squad here. So we have Iden Versio, Gideon Hask, Del Miko, and Sin Mirana. And what's cool is not only are they all at the same initiative 4, but I feel like there's just some inherent synergy between all of their pilot abilities.
Yeah, taken individually, each member of Inferno Squadron has an interesting TIE Fighter pilot ability, which I think works fine on its own. But when you actually look at them side by side, you can see how they interconnect. So we've already been spoiled on Iden Versio. So Iden's ability is, before a friendly TIE LN fighter at range 0-1, would suffer 1 or more damage, you may spend 1 charge if you do prevent that damage, and Iden comes with just a single charge, not regenerating on a pilot card.
Right, so here we have a 1-use-only ability per game, but it's a very powerful ability. You know, TIE fighters, they only have 3 hull, and yes, they have 3 agility, but, you know, usually when you need it, they all come up blanks, and that's how your TIE fighters disappear. So having this ability, you know, even if you only use it once, that's saving a TIE fighter, and that's huge.
And this ability is also really powerful because it is reactive. You first get to see whether or not the attack lands, and then you get to decide whether or not you want to prevent the damage. So you're not forced to make a decision here that might waste your charge. You get to see how much damage your other ship's going to take and then decide when to prevent it. So if your ship's only going to take 1 point of damage, then it's probably not worth spending it. But if a shot's going to kill one of your friendly ships, that might be the moment and make your opponent waste another shot or more.
Absolutely. I mean, and we talked about the Initiative 5 pilots. All of those have very strong damage boosting abilities. You know, especially Howlrunner, you want to protect her. But also Mauler and Skurk would be great ships to prevent some damage for as well. It's also cool here with Iden, you know, specifying, same with Howlrunner, you know, friendly ship at range from 0-1. So that's also going to include Iden, which is a pretty cool power to hold over your opponent. You know, if they target one of your other high priority TIE fighters, you have Iden nearby to protect them and disincentivize that. But if they target Iden, it's still going to be just as difficult to bring that TIE fighter down. It's really just going to cost way too much resources for your opponent to destroy that first TIE fighter.
And canceling out one attack may not seem like a huge thing, but that can easily shift the tempo of the game in your favor, where they might spend a lot of effort trying to get off a well-modified attack, and when you completely deny that to them, even though it's a single-use ability, that can totally turn the tide of the game into your favor.
Right. I mean, if you're going up against those rebel ships with all of their dirty proton torpedoes, those four dice attacks, you'll feel pretty bad if Aiden cancels the first one.
And even though Aiden and the Initiative 5 TIE Fighters might be worth protecting, you might also want to spend that defensive mod protecting the other members of Inferno Squadron, because they actually bring some pretty cool interlinked abilities.
Right, so we have Gideon Hask, who has the ability, while you perform an attack against a damaged defender, roll one additional attack die. So, yeah, it feels similar to Mauler or Scourge from the Initiative 5s, but here we have the Initiative 4 version. And a damaged defender. So some of your other ships have to attack first, get at least one damage card on the defender, and then Gideon's attack now starts rolling three attack dice or four at range one.
And this goes back to my point about having the matched initiative values across several ships, because if you're combining this with the other Initiative 4 Inferno Squadron pilots, there's a good chance that those other ships are going to be able to do damage if you activate them before, so that by the time you get around to shooting with Gideon, you might have dealt the damage that turn and can get that extra attack die. And at that point, your opponent probably wasted most of their defensive modification anyway.
Right, and, you know, if we're looking outside of Inferno Squadron, if, you know, Gideon's paired with Mauler or Scourge, those higher initiative ships have a decent damage of putting a damage card on the defender, and then you can have Gideon at his lower initiative 4 follow up and have another heavy attack from your cheap TIE fighters. So I could see putting all of those pilots together as well, but I think we'll see once we get through the rest of Inferno Squadron that it's fine to just stick with the initiative 4s too.
Running parallel to Gideon is Del Miko's ability. Del focuses also on the other ship being damaged, but his ability reads, while a friendly ship at range 0 to 2 defends against a damaged attacker, the defender may reroll one defense die.
Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot to unpack with that pilot ability. Just for starters, defensive modifications are very powerful, so you really have to give this a strong look whenever you see any defensive modification. Those are usually a pretty high priority. And, you know, we're looking now at a swarm benefit, friendly ships, but at a range of 0 to 2, so a much wider range than Howlrunner, per se. But it is only against a focused attacker. But it does have a limited trigger against, has to be a damaged attacker attacking your TIE fighters.
And I think that makes this ability really interesting, because it puts a lot of pressure on you, the person flying these TIE fighters, to get damage out as quickly as possible, so that you can get the benefit of this defensive modification. So it's nice to have a relatively high initiative value on these ships, like 4, but you're not going to get that defensive modification if the other ships are undamaged. So it's going to put a lot of pressure on you. One parallel I was drawing between this ship was, looking back at first edition, we had a sick interceptor named Sarasu, the Pilot Skill 8 sick interceptor, and that ship had an ability that was similar to this one. It read, when another friendly ship at range 1 is defending, he may reroll one defense die. Now, I think Del's is actually quite a bit better than Sirisu's, and I'd like to point this out. So, even though Del's ability has the requirement that the attacker be damaged, Del's ability works on himself. So, he is considered a friendly ship of himself. It doesn't specify another friendly ship. So, if the attacker's damaged, Del can reroll that die defensively. We look back in first edition over at Sirisu, who the sick interceptor had a lot of problems, but one of the reasons Sarasu didn't really work was it only worked on other friendly ships, not on yourself. So even if you did get it into a squad and were able to let adjacent ships reroll their defense dice, since Sarasu couldn't reroll any defense dice, it was very easy for your opponent just to target Sarasu, take it off the board, and kill that defensive investment.
And, you know, I think you're also just going to get more value out of the defensive swarm ability from the TIE fighters than the Seeks, just because they're a bit cheaper, and you have more of incentive to going for the swarm build because you have those other damage-modifying TIE fighters. So there's more, you know, little ships that are worth protecting in the TIE fighter side. And so this is a really interesting theme. We see now we have Del Miko and Aiden Versio, both defensive-focused TIE swarm ships. And honestly, Del's not even as much of a swarm ship. You know, that wider range and doesn't specifically call out TIE LN fighter, You know, you could easily pair this with some TIE Advanced or some other Imperial options within the conversion kit. It's a lot easier to have friendly ships at range 0 to 2 that doesn't require tight swarm flying.
And one thing that's important to have in your squad is ways to screw with your opponent's target priority, not make it clear who they should shoot at first. And Del's great at that. Del on his own is not a terribly huge threat with just 2 attack dice, maybe with a HAL runner reroll or something, but on its own, not going to be a huge damage threat to your opponent. But if your opponent focuses on other ships first, as the game goes on, Del's ability becomes increasingly more valuable. Not only does it go out to range 2, but the longer Del's around, the more likely your opponent's ships are going to get damaged, and you're going to be able to start triggering that Del defensive ability, which means your ships are just going to gain that little extra defensive boost, which could make the difference between some pretty substantial damage.
And now we've seen Gideon, Mauler, and Scourge all seem like very strong late-game TIE fighters. Del is also going to be a pretty strong late-game TIE fighter, because there's definitely going to be a lot more of your opponent's ships damaged late game. So it'll be a lot easier to trigger that ability and, you know, that wider range for that support ability. Well, you know, later in the game, your swarm's usually broken a bit more. They're going to be flying a little bit looser. And so that's great to have that flexibility in Del's pilot ability.
So both Gideon's and Del's pilot abilities focus on the opponent having a damaged ship or multiple damaged ship. Well, we've got a fourth member of Inferno Squadron here that will actually create that damage scenario so that you can start triggering these abilities. Sen Marana has a pilot ability that's actually a little bit familiar if you know First Edition X-Wing.
Right, so this is the old Wampa pilot ability, and this is the ability that really, I think, ties Inferno Squadron together. Yes, you have Iden protecting all of these cool named TIE fighters, but you also have Sane turning on Del and Gideon's pilot ability. Sane Marana's pilot ability is, while you perform an attack, you may spend 1 critical result. If you do, deal 1 face-down damage card to the defender, then cancel your remaining results.
And like you said, we saw this ability on the Wampa card in the first edition of the game, but there's some distinct differences here. Sane Marana comes in at a pretty high initiative value relative to what Wampa came in back in the original game. I believe Wampa was just a pilot skill 4, which was on the lower half of pilot skill values. Initiative 4 is on the upper half of initiatives, so it's going to trend a little bit higher and going to fire a little bit earlier than Wampa did in first edition.
Right. Well, and this is such a strong ability because, you know, dealing a face down damage card is much different than just dealing a damage, because that's going to go under any shields that your opponent might have.
Yeah, so if it's a ship like an A-Wing, suddenly if it takes just 2 face-down damage cards, that ship's going to be destroyed even if it still has shields remaining.
Right, absolutely. It's very good against, you know, high shield ships with low hull values, but also it's great for just turning on Gideon and Del's pilot abilities, because once they have that first damage card, well, then they're considered damaged. And then Gideon gets to roll more attack dice, and Del helps keep everyone alive by re-rolling defense dice.
So the one trick to Sane's ability is that it's not completely reliable. In first edition, you had the Emperor Palpatine crew card, so you could just change a result to a crit, which synergized really well with the old Wampa card, so you could force that crit down, cancel, and get a damage through. Emperor Palpatine doesn't quite work the same way in second edition, so Sane's ability on its own is going to be a little bit volatile. Each die only has a 1 in 8 chance of rolling a critical, so it's not a terribly reliable way to put damage out. But there's a good chance that you're going to be able to make that a lot more reliable. We can tell from the threat cards that both Gideon Hask and Del Miko come with elite pilot talents, so I don't think it's too much of a stretch of the imagination to expect that Sane will also come with a pilot talent slot, which means she has access to the marksmanship elite talent, which allows you, when you're shooting a ship in your bullseye firing arc, you can change one of your hit results into a crit result.
Yeah, and if Sane just gets that 1 critical result each turn, and just ends up dealing 1 face-down damage, she's going to be pretty happy. And I think the rest of Inferno Squadron is going to be pretty happy too.
I think I have to say, overall, looking at the TIE Fighter pilots we've seen, I'm really excited for this cycle of cards here in the form of Inferno Squadron. Seeing these abilities linked together, Sane pushing damage out, Del and Gideon benefiting if the opposing ships are damaged, and then having Iden Versia there to protect them all. I really like to see the synergy across all these cards, and I really hope to see more linked pilot ship designs like this in the future, especially for ships that are you know, more prone to being in swarms. It's really cool to see those abilities interlink a little bit, but also stand on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really cool. And especially having them all at the same initiative means, you know, list builders really want to put those piled abilities together too.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, it's time to announce our raffle winners for the month of July. We decided to give away something extra special this month for all the people who have stuck around on the Patreon. So this month, we're giving away a second edition X-Wing expansion. I was able to pick up an extra one of these at Worlds way back in May. So we'll be giving that out this month, and our winner is Mike Chan from California. Congratulations, Mike. We're not quite ready to announce what our raffle prizes are going to be for the month of August if you support us via Patreon. I'll be going to Gen Con, so I'm hoping to get my hands on some X-Wing 2nd Edition stuff to send out in August. But at this point, I don't know exactly what I'm going to be able to get, so we'll have more news for that once I get to Gen Con. But if you want to become eligible for that raffle and our future raffles, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. We really appreciate it. And now, back to the cast.
We still do have three more named pilots for the TIE Fighter. And these ones are interesting. So we have three generics for the TIE Fighter, and then we have three named pilots, each matching the initiative of those generics.
So on the high end of the generics, we have the Black Squadron pilot, which we know has a pilot talent slot. And until we know point cost, there's not too much to say about the generics, but we do know that that initiative 3 overlaps with the initiative of Valen Rudor, one of the named TIE Fighter pilots.
Right, and Valen Rudor's ability is, after a friendly ship at range 0 to 1 defends, after damage is resolved, if any, you may perform an action.
So this is not a groundbreaking ability, but it is a cool thing to see and gives you some action efficiency regardless of whichever ship your opponent targets. Because again, this ability refers to a friendly ship, which could include Valen himself. So if Valen gets targeted after the attack's resolved, you can get an action, maybe get a focus token or an evade if you didn't get one of those before. Or if a friendly ship's targeted, you can get that focus token and then have focus and evade, or even a sweet barrel roll in the combat phase just to get some late repositioning.
Right, and here, you know, having a slightly lower initiative is really in Valen's favor. You can start by just taking that evade action, disincentivizing people from targeting you, and then, you know, after Valen or any of your other nearby ships are targeted, then you can either get that focus for some offense modification, or, and or actually, depending on how many of your friendly ships are targeted, you could barrel roll in closer as well, maybe set up a range one attack.
So not an insanely powerful pilot ability for Valen, but pretty versatile and usable pretty much in any scenario here, thanks to that friendly ship not having to be another friendly ship. We see the generic Initiative 2 TIE Fighter Obsidian Squadron matches up with Night Beast, which is a familiar name and a mostly familiar ability that we saw from first edition.
Right. This one reads, after you fully execute a blue maneuver, you may perform a focus action. So now this is a nice way that you can get focus and evade on a TIE Fighter. Or, you know, get a focus and still be able to barrel roll. You have a lot of options there. Makes Night Beast a very good blocker.
It's a little bit of a bummer that Night Beast doesn't just assign a focus token. Since you're performing an action with this ability, you're not going to be able to perform a second focus action. So you'll still be limited to the cap of just getting a focus and a barrel roll or a focus and an evade. But it is a pretty efficient ability, and I'm interested to see where the point costs actually settle for the ship. Because if it's only a little bit more expensive than an Obsidian, this seems like a pretty viable choice to take in a TIE Swarm, just to get that little edge.
Now, we also have the Academy pilots, the generic at Initiative 1. And then of these last three pilots, I think we have probably the strongest pilot ability. We have Wampa.
Wampa's pilot ability reads, while you perform an attack, you may spend one charge and roll one additional attack die. And after defending, lose one charge. And Wampa comes with one charge built in, but that is a reoccurring charge, so you'll get it back at the start of each round.
Right, and so this is a pretty powerful ability, but definitely balanced by that lower initiative. You know, we see on the pilot's title, you know, Black 11, so it's part of the elite Black Squadron, but still at Initiative 1, just to balance out the mechanics of that very powerful pilot ability.
But I do really love the way it's balanced out, right? So on its surface, without that second part of its ability, this ability is straight up better than Mauler Mythyl or Scourge. because it doesn't really have any requirement other than that you're shooting. There's no range restriction or firing arc, bullseye firing arc restriction. So it's a great powerful ability and you can use it every round. Where it becomes interesting is the fact that Wampa's initiative one, and if you get targeted at all, doesn't matter if you take any damage, you're going to lose that charge and lose that extra attack die.
Right, but, you know, this is your initiative one TIE fighter. It's probably not going to cost too much, especially compared to some of your other higher initiative named TIE fighters. You know, is your opponent really going to prioritize, you know, spending one of their attacks on Wampa when they need to burn down Howlrunner or Mauler or Iden or Delmico? I think quite often Wampa's going to be rolling three or four attack dice.
But if your opponent wants to stop that ability, all they have to do is take a shot at Wampa, which I think is a really cool way to balance out a really powerful ability. And again, shows off the versatility of the charge.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a really cool, you know, way to lose the charge, but then you can get it back each turn, which means your opponent, you know, if they focus on Wampa, they really want to bring it down quickly because it's going to be really annoying to have to keep focusing on Wampa to turn off that powerful attack. But if you have Wampa protected by both Delmico and Iden Versio, that's going to be pretty annoying to target.
So there you have it, our look at the named pilots coming in the first wave of X-Wing 2nd Edition. I'm actually generally excited about all these pilot abilities one way or the other, and I think they've really benefited from seeing that compression of pilot skill down from 1 to 9 into that initiative values of 1 to 6. So we see a lot more overlap here between the individual TIE fighters, so I think that's going to lend itself to making squad building with TIE fighters a lot easier and maybe a lot more fun.
Absolutely. I mean, we had three pilots at initiative 5 that are all really heavy hitter damage dealing ships. And then we had our initiative 4 Inferno Squadron, four pilots with all pretty synergistic abilities that I think will be really fun to fly together. And then we had, you know, three other named pilots, each matching the generics. So if you, you know, you take three black squadrons and have a few points left over, you could upgrade one to Valen Rudor and get some extra action efficiency. So just a lot of cool list building options. And we talked about how the Wave 1 format, just including for the Imperials, the TIE Fighter, the TIE Advanced, and the TIE Reaper, you know, might not be the strongest format for the Imperials. You know, they really just seem to have that swarm synergy in the TIE Fighter. But, you know, taking a closer look at all the different kind of swarm synergies that these TIE Fighter pilots all bring, I think there seems to be quite a variety of list building options just within that TIE Swarm. So I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, seeing these named pilots definitely made me more excited to play Imperials in that first wave. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go into facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you enjoyed listening to the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and what other people would be interested in listening.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening. We've just got a few more weeks here till we see the Gen Con release of 2nd Edition and we get these ships hands-on. So until then, we hope you've been enjoying our X-Wing content and we're really excited about a whole new era of X-Wing to talk to you more about it.